We're glad you're with us today. I'm your teacher, Doris, and we have two other panelists with us today.
Hi, everyone. I'm Campbell.
And I'm Lois.
So welcome back.
Thank you, Doris.
Thank you.
You know, this has been a very interesting lesson, and it's divided into two different sections. When you want to make your career better or your life better, there's two things we're talking about. What are they?
That's right. We're talking about grit and persuasion.
Okay, now what did we talk about yesterday?
Well, we focused on grit yesterday.
In fact,
we even saw it right away, the word grit, in our deck when it said grit and persuasion could boost your career.
So grit seems very important to hang in there, never give up, be strong. But what are we going to talk about today?
Well, today we're going to be talking about persuasion. And persuasion is sometimes a little bit softer, right? You can't really push your way into persuasion.
You can be strong, but you don't have to use that to force other people to do things.
Mm-hmm.
You need to persuade
exactly.
people. Now, parents have to do that sometimes,
oh,
too.
All the time.
My mother would be more persuasive. I would say to my father, why do I have to do that? Because I said so. Now, that wasn't a very good explanation.
Right.
Remember, come on now, dear, you need to do this because.
Mm-hmm.
And she used more persuasion, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that persuasion is pretty good.
Right. And persuasion isn't twisting someone's arm.
Mm-hmm. No.
I think sometimes if you twist somebody's arm, you are really making them do something they don't want to
forcing
do.
Forcing them. That means forcing them.
And if you do that to a family member, it might distance them from you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even good in politics. It's not good in offices. You know, so let's talk a little bit about the benefits of being a little more persuasive. That doesn't mean soft, but
right.
it just means to try to get people to understand what you're talking about, to
right.
persuade them, right?
Yeah, you know, and a lot of times I think persuasion has a kind of a negative, a lot of people have this negative opinion of persuasion, but persuasion is actually a very useful tool if you know how to use it well and use it correctly.
Well, I think one of the reasons it has a negative thing is we think of salesmen who are always trying to get you to buy something and you don't want to buy it.
Right.
And they keep trying to persuade you. Or people who say, yes, you should do this, I don't want to do it, when they try to persuade you.
Yeah.
So we don't want to use that negative
right.
part. There are good things about letting people know why
exactly.
and persuading them by making it clearer to them, don't
right.
you think?
Yeah, and I think the key is first understanding, is this something that really would be beneficial to that person? You know, is this something that is good for them?
But you have to talk them into it. You
right.
have to let them know.
Right. If somebody's persuasion to me seems pushy, you have lost me instantly.
Okay.
I am like out of the store, or, you know, sometimes when we're visiting other countries
mm-hmm.
or maybe it's the way of some countries to do this, they, you know, they'll be chasing you around the store almost.
Right.
And it's not about shoplifting. It's about they want you to purchase something. Well, you know what? That seems not persuasive to me. That
mm-hmm.
seems pushy. I am out of this.
Well, that's why I said salesmen. They're the ones we think about.
Right.
But there's a lot of things involved in persuasion. Let's read the first part here on page 39, the first section, the benefits of persuasion. Are you ready?
Yes.
The benefits of persuasion. Understanding persuasion is crucial to career success. Yet too many people equate persuasion to something coercive or devious, according to Mark Rogers, author of Persuasion Equation, The Subtle Science of Getting Your Way. Individuals treat persuasion like a leper and want nothing to do with it. Savvy professionals, who are at the top of their game, however, know how to use it to their advantage. Having someone say yes to your ideas, offers and suggestions ranks among the greatest achievements in the business world, he says.
Well, I think a lot of us in our lives have to learn how to communicate with different people and trying to get them to do things. So this idea of persuasion is an important one to understand. And that's how we start our article today. It says, understanding persuasion is crucial to career success.
Right. And when it says, goes on to say that too many people equate, that means too many people think about it as something that is very forceful, coercive. You're going to make you do it. And or devious, like, well, give you some under table money or something. I'll persuade you, I'll give you this money.
That's not
what we're talking about. Now, this man, Mark Rogers, wrote a very interesting book about the subtle science of getting your way. Now, subtle, we don't say the B in that word very much. Subtle.
No, it's subtle.
Mm-hmm. And it just means the quiet way of getting your way without trying to be loud and forceful. I want to get my way, but I'll do it in a subtle way. That's interesting.
Yeah. Right. I think the people who understand persuasion the best, you don't even realize they're persuading you.
Yes.
When, you know, they almost make it seem like it's your idea.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's true. Well, I like this example here. You know, individuals treat persuasion like a leper. In other words, keep away from
me. Yeah, that's right. Keep your distance, right?
Da ma fang bing zhen. Oh, my goodness. And I don't want to have anything to do with that. Don't try to persuade me. I know what I want because you're afraid of it.
Right. Or, like we talked about when we weren't on the mics yet, you might find the person being pushy. So you're just trying to escape that.
Mm-hmm. That's true, yeah. But who are savvy? That word savvy.
I like that word.
Who are savvy professionals?
Savvy professionals, people who know what they're doing, people who are professional, who are on top of the game, however, know how to use it to their advantage.
Right. Savvy means those who know, really, understand, right?
Kind of with it professionals, I often think.
Yeah.
They're with it. They know what to do. They know how to command. Sometimes we'll say they know how to command a room or they know how to command an office meeting.
People with a lot of knowledge about things, And they know how to use this to their advantage to make it work for them instead of against them.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So having someone say yes to your ideas, offers, and suggestions ranks among the greatest achievements in the business world.
Right.
That's true. You know, if they will agree with you put forth, then that means that you've been able to let them understand it clearly and also accept it. That's good.
Right. Yeah. Right. I often think of that with some famous companies.
Mm-hmm.
I think of that with Microsoft, for one.
Mm-hmm.
I think of it again with Starbucks, for another.
Mm-hmm.
I've read material and the book on the founder of Starbucks, and then also, you know, Bill Gates. And we think of this oftentimes, what has just been spoken of in this last paragraph of this first section.
Right. Well, I think persuasion is actually a tool that is definitely useful in the business world, but it's definitely something all of us need. You know, I think parents constantly are using persuasion as they interact with their children, husbands and wives constantly.
Please do this.
Please finish your dinner and stop trying to.
I had a famous line with one of my children. I'm not going to mention which one. Getting very, very, very stubborn one time. And just letting the child know, just so you know, mommy's going to win this battle. And you know what? That child was like, okay, I'm giving up.
Giving up. Are you sure that wasn't coercive? That sounded a little coercive to me. But, you know, this is actually something that's very important. And I think it's ethically winning the hearts and minds of the target, isn't it?
That's right. So doing things with ethics in the right way. So let's continue our article, and we'll start where it says defining persuasion. What does persuasion mean?
Defining persuasion. Rogers defines persuasion as ethically winning the heart and mind of your target. It has two primary roles: to get someone to do something willingly and to get someone not to do something. People who experience success with persuasion balance the following attributes, he notes. They're assertive, inclined to be bold and self-assured. Empathetic, possessing the ability to see the world from another person's perspective. Communicative, adept at applying verbal and nonverbal communication. Tenacious, persistent when adhering to or accomplishing something. And resilient, possessing the ability to recover quickly after hearing no.
All right, so we have a better understanding of what persuasion is. Rogers defines persuasion as ethically winning the heart and mind of your target. I really like that description.
Mm-hmm. I do, too.
That's good. I think you should underline that with your marker pencil, too.
Exactly. And I think, you know, we hear the word ethically or ethics or, and we sometimes don't really know what that means, but it means doing things right. Or we might hear doing things above the board.
Mm-hmm.
Or
not cheating.
Exactly. So you're not handing a bribe under the table or whatever,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, slipping something into someone's hand so they'll do it the way you want it to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Everything is above
that,
board.
That's not ethical, what you're saying.
Everything you can, right. you know, you can look back on and go, I got this project, won it, and did a good job, and I did it the right way.
Right, because there are plenty of ways where you can get people to do the right, you know, do things without in the wrong way. You know,
right.
you can manipulate them, you
That's
can make
right.
them feel guilty,
mm-hmm.
you can lie, you can cheat, and you can get people to do things, but that's not ethical.
Have them be afraid if they don't do it, there'll be bad results.
Exactly.
Right? But this means you win the heart and the mind. They think, oh, that is a good idea. Yes, maybe we should do that.
Mm-hmm.
So you win them over by giving them the information so that they can understand what you mean, and then they agree with you. And that's a good way to persuade them.
Mm-hmm.
And it says it has two primary rules. What are the two rules?
Well, there are two roles to persuasion, two reasons why you might want to persuade someone. Number one, getting them to do something willingly, and then also getting them not to do something.
Okay, mm-hmm. yeah, to persuade you don't do that. And this
right.
works two ways, doesn't it?
Right.
Exactly. Actually, in this part, I was thinking, are we teaching children here?
I know.
I think we have to become as a child and keep learning
right.
all their life,
yeah.
right? Because there are some things that they should learn this when they're a child. It's
right.
harder to learn it when you're older.
Exactly.
So the sooner you
yeah.
learn it, teach it to your kids.
That's right.
And, you know, ethically, just I always think of if you do things ethically, you are going to be known eventually down the road as a woman or man with integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And we should all be striving for that.
Well, another thing you mentioned is parents, but if you do things ethically, your children are more apt to. But if you don't, they say, well, my dad always did that, or
That's
my
right.
mom did that.
Yeah.
And then they learn from you. So you have a responsibility to teach the children by what you do, not
right.
what you say.
That's
right.
right. So giving and illustrating a little bit more of this, getting someone to do something willingly, if it's your child, it's things like, can you please put away your toys? Can you finish your dinner? You know,
mm-hmm.
go to bed, things like
yeah.
that. Getting someone not to do something, don't hit your sister.
right. Yeah, there's some things that you shouldn't do. And so it says that people who have the experience with this, they have these following good things, these attributes. They're actually more assertive because they don't give up. They say, yes, this is a good idea. What else?
Well, they are inclined to be bold and self-assured, so they have a lot more confidence.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it also says empathetic.
That's important.
That is great. You know, you feel for someone. You feel what they're going through, possessing the ability to see the world from another person's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you're trying to figure out a way a person's losing money in their business or a company, and you understand how your boss feels or somebody because, oh, it must be very hard. But then you say, now there is this other way. We can try something else. So you try to persuade them to a new plan
right.
because you understand how they feel.
Right.
And if you don't understand, you're not going to try.
Yeah, and I think that is the key to being persuasive is again, speaking from their perspective and seeing from their point of view.
And that's very important.
Right.
It?
And it says communicative, adept at applying verbal and nonverbal communication. Once again, tenacious, persistent when adhering to or accomplishing something. And resilient. We all want to be resilient, I think. Possessing the ability to recover quickly after hearing no.
Now, if you're looking for new ways to increase your vocabulary, read this over two or three times.
Yeah.
Because it's full of vocabulary words that are useful, like it's talking about a person's perspective. Your perspective is the way you look at things.
Uh-huh.
And it talks about perspective quite a bit in this article, doesn't it?
That's right. Being able to see things from different perspectives. Yesterday we talked about growth and your propensity to seek different perspectives.
Right.
And then this communicative, that's another good word.
Right. And you want to be able to be communicative. You want to be able to communicate with the people around you, whether it's being your work colleagues, your friendships, your family members. You want to be able to do that because it actually makes your life a lot smoother.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you have to be good at it. To be adept at something means skillful to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Adept, not adapt. Adapt
right.
means get used to, but adept right. means to be skillful at doing this and applying or using verbal and nonverbal. Now, verbal communication, we can understand better. I'll try to explain this to you more.
Right.
But how could you do this by nonverbal communication?
Well, when we talk about verbal, we're talking about the words we're speaking, the words we're writing. But nonverbal are things like your body language, your eyes, your facial expressions, things like that.
Somebody might say to you, "Don't be telling me everything you're thinking by the expression on your face."
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes the actual, look on our face can tell everything
definitely.
That we're
That's
thinking.
That's right. The right. way we act.
Yeah. And I've read a statistic that actually 90% or more of the way we communicate is through our body language and not so much the words.
Right. That's true.
Right.
Depends on how you say it, how you do it. And to be tenacious, we've brought that up several times, but I hope you'll learn it because we have to use this word to be tenacious and persistent. Now, is tenacious and persistent different?
They're similar, just the idea of continuing to press on. We talked about tenacity mm-hmm. and perseverance yesterday, and so this is the idea of continuing to press on no matter what.
Right. And you have to keep on persistent when you adhere to or accomplishing something. That means when you go by or decide to do it, right?
Right. And, what we're learning here today is very helpful with the benefits of persuasion, like we're studying right here on day two. But what I'm also learning in this article, like you just mentioned, Doris, we are increasing our vocabulary
yes.
to be perhaps more persuasive or more communicative.
That's right. And I think these words are always good. And to be resilient, we don't often use a word in our conversation, but what did we say that really means to be resilient?
Well, to be able to bounce back. So
mm-hmm.
something happens, something negative happens, someone says no, but you're able to pick yourself
mm-hmm.
up and keep
exactly.
going.
I think pick yourself up, brush yourself off, start all over again. That's the line from a song.
But if somebody says you're in a meeting, you're trying to persuade them to do something and they don't like the idea, then you have to recover quickly after hearing no and just say, okay, well, and have to say, well, okay for you then. I'm not going to talk to you anymore.
Right.
That's not the attitude.
Yeah.
You just have to say, okay, well, I see your point. I'll try to look at it again.
Mm-hmm.
And, and you still don't give up necessarily,
exactly.
but you just do something else. So it's hard to hear that word no.
Yeah.
It can make you upset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
angry.
Sometimes when you hear no, you can sit there and you feel sorry for yourself
mm-hmm.
and you feel bad and you're like, oh,
might as well give up.
Or you come home and
likes
say,
my idea.
My boss said no.
Right.
I thought it was a great idea. My boss said
well,
no.
Well, try another way then at different
right.
times.
So tomorrow I'm going to go in and say it a different way.
Yeah, that's right.
Be resilient.
Or think of some other thing that might be different that you could add to it to enhance what you said,
Mm-hmm.
So as part of it is up to you and your communication, and maybe they haven't had time to think about it. So if they brought up some objection, then you need to think of an answer to their objection
right.
and say, well, no, that's true, but maybe, and then you can persuade them. So don't
right.
give up.
I think that's a good point, is to understand what is the objection,
right.
why are they saying no, and then addressing that issue will help you be more persuasive.
Exactly.
That's right. So your attitude is also important. But, how to persuade people, we could do a whole big long lesson on that. But it's very important. So let's read the last column on page 39, how to persuade people.
How to persuade people. State whom you want to do what. Your request must be meaningful, significant, and realistic. Don't say, "I want my vice president to add people to my staff." Say, "I would like my vice president to approve 5 new hires by the start of next quarter." Articulate why this priority is important to you, your target, and your organization. Try to identify at least 3 reasons for each of the 3 categories. These can include finances gained, skills acquired, networks built, and market shares increased. Use descriptive language in order to accelerate acceptance and understanding. Remember that storytelling and humor can be two of the most effective persuasion tools. Assess your primary target and other key players. Write down their names and titles, your impression of their personalities, and your perception of their preferences for communication and information.
All right, so let's take a look at this. How do we persuade people? First step, state whom you want to do what. That's interesting.
So you have to know your goals. What are you trying to really do?
Right. Mm-hmm. I think the best example I've ever seen of this is a bride with her wedding, because she has to delegate or else she's going to be overwhelmed the day of her wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are good at this, you are a bride who does exactly what Campbell just read, state whom you want to do something and to do what.
Right. So I think this is very important. You need to know what you're trying to persuade this person to do and who you're trying to persuade.
Right.
And your request has to be at least meaningful and significant. It has to make a difference, and it has to be something practical and realistic, doesn't it?
Right. So it says, don't say, I want my vice president to add people to my staff. I think this is probably being spoken by the CEO or mm-hmm. the head of a company. Instead, say, I would like my vice president to approve 5 new hires by the start of next quarter.
So they have a definite date, a definite goal and
right.
time, not just any time.
To me, it seems very precise.
Yes, very specific.
Clear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Clear cut.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to say very accurately, articulate something means to make it very clear. That's a good word, to articulate, to
right.
express.
You need to express clearly in words why you want this to be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone might agree with you and be like, okay, that's a good idea, but if they don't understand how important it is to you, they might not make it a priority.
Right. You might have a boss actually say to you, well, I'm just going to give me as an example. Lois, why is this so important to you? And if I am able to articulate right there on the spot, I probably have my boss's full attention.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And then your boss can say yes or no.
Right.
Yeah, but if Lois, if you just say, well, I want to do this, and you don't,
mm-hmm.
well, why do you want to do it? You didn't make it very clear.
Right.
You're not going to get a good answer.
Right.
You're
yeah.
exactly right, Doris.
And I think a lot of times, I mean, even with children, they're also always asking, why, right?
Sometimes they'll never understand until they get older. When they get older, they'll understand.
Yeah.
But there are reasons that we need to know why we need to do this. And one of them can be, well, you can get more money if you do this. We'll get more income. That's pretty
mm-hmm.
important.
That's right. Finances gained or skills acquired, networks built, and market shares increased.
So that's quite a few advantages.
Exactly. And we would like to see those advantages in business, wouldn't we?
Right.
You don't have to use all of them. Just take one or two of them you want to.
Right.
But you have to use descriptive language. You have to say more about why and how. You can't just say, oh, our company will be better.
Mm-hmm.
That's not descriptive enough.
No.
That's right.
No.
You need to be able to explain clearly. And again, this goes back to being articulate and communicative, right? Being able to explain clearly what you want done and why you want it done.
Right. Finances is one thing, but you say, well, if we do this, it'll train our workers and they'll be better.
Exactly.
So the skills that you can get are also important.
Right.
And you have to use descriptive language to do this. In order to accelerate means to make it faster. You want to be accepted, but you don't want to sit there all day and talk about it.
Right.
Exactly. You're being more precise.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if you're more precise in a business meeting, they wouldn't have to last so long.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I mean, when you are more precise, people understand it better, right? I could say, well, this will help us make more money, or this will help us make $1 million
right.
by September. That
right.
is a lot
That's
clearer.
More, right.
Yeah.
Well, I like this part here about remember that storytelling and humor can be two of the most effective persuasion tools.
Yes.
When you just say something kind of humorously or say some story that happened
right.
because somebody did that, wow, that makes it a lot more interesting than here's the facts.
Right. Yeah.
I always like when I'm in a meeting and the storytelling takes place and the person will just say, here, I want to give you an example.
Right.
And then they go into their little storytelling and right. It's usually something maybe in their past or a friend's past or whatever.
Yeah, and that's why testimonials are so important, right? People use testimonials. All right, so we need to understand our primary target and other key players, write down their names and titles and your impression of their personalities, and then figure out how to communicate with them.
So before you go to the meeting, if it's going to be a board meeting or a lot of people there, you say, well, this person is coming and they like this. And so you find out more, or this person won't talk very much. And you need to know a little bit about the people you're going to try to persuade, don't you?
Right.
Or maybe the most important person at the meeting, find out what they like to snack on at breakfast and bring that to the meeting.
Bring donuts, right?
That would be persuasive.
That kind of sounds a little bribey to me. But anyway, these are some good ideas. And try to be persuasive in a nice way. And I think that you will get along better. But keep it to the point. Don't go on and on too long, right?
Very true, yes.
Well, we hope we can persuade all of you to keep listening in and to join us every day. We try to make our lessons interesting for you. But you can always send us some thoughts and we'll give tips on things and you can give us some and we'll enhance the program, right?
That's right.
For sure. We're so glad you've come and listened to us today.
Mm-hmm. And remember to check out our topic talks with the QR code on page 38. And we'll see you back here for our next lesson.
So goodbye, everyone, for now.
Bye.
Bye.